Welcome to Uncle Form Podcast. This is a 30-ish minute podcast created by Darius Watkins and Ryan Thomas. We are two black males discussing the intersections between faith and culture. So join us on this ride while we chop it up for the next 30-ish minutes. Man, today on the podcast, we're talking about the Billy Graham rule. So if you feel strongly about that one way or another, this may not be an episode for you. But I would argue that it's definitely an episode for you if you feel strongly one way or another.
What? It sounds like you said both things. I don't know. This sounded weird.
This is what I mean. Like, you say some things like just to give people trigger warnings and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I think that sometimes like it doesn't require a trigger warning. And if you feel super strongly about something, then
maybe
like
you
should probably hear a different perspective. Like, that's kind of what I mean when I say that. So it's like, hey, just so you know. But also, this is probably for you if you don't want to listen to the whole episode because you just got triggered in some capacity. So we can just jump into it. I feel like this has kind of been something that's been kind of questioned by a lot of people in like more progressive Christian spheres. I said spheres.
It's fine.
But let's go ahead and define what the Billy Graham rule is.
Before we do that, let me tell you who Billy Graham is, all right?
That's cool.
Billy Graham, if you don't know. he was a televangelist from, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Man, this guy used to preach, and I believe he was sent by God to preach because he used to fill stadiums up for decades, blessing people and saving people all across the world. And, regardless of how you feel about the man, he was an older white man, but regardless of how you feel about him, he was impactful. So that's who Billy Graham is.
Yeah, so, look that man up. Maybe you heard of him, maybe you hadn't, but you can find a lot of interesting stuff. But as far as the Billy Graham rule, it's defined as an extra-biblical Christian practice among men in which they avoid spending time alone with women to whom they are not married. So let's be clear. This is primarily for men, but I think also women. But I think it's primarily for men, at least by definition, the Billy Graham rule, right? But I think that you could even like say that it's an extra biblical Christian practice amongst believers in which they avoid spending time alone with the opposite sex of which they are not married. I think that's probably like the easiest definition that there is. Right.
Yeah, sure. And it's supposed to curb the likelihood of sexual immorality and also shun the appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. So that it's also supposed to like keep people from assuming what's going on between you and this woman you're not married to.
Yeah, so almost like eliminating reasonable doubt.
Yes.
Or I'm sorry, giving reasonable doubt. Like, I doubt this happened because...
Giving reasonable doubt or eliminating reasonable... Okay. Giving. Okay, I think I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Words, so man. They're so hard, aren't they?
Look, it's one of them days, man. We sorry. I'm sorry because I'm the one that's tripping. But with that being said, though, like, the idea is that, like, again, like, this is supposed to kind of make it to where it doesn't even look like you're cheating on your spouse. You don't even want to make it even look like that. And, like, you know, I've heard some people even say, like, I want to honor my spouse in this way. So I'm not gonna like make it even look like I'm violating my spouse or violating my covenant with my spouse. So like that's how some people would define it. And I think that it was generally accepted as wide practice amongst like a lot of believers up until like probably recently. By recently I mean like the past 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So like it's super interesting to see, and it's super interesting to see it like come back up. And the reason it's come back up is because of Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler being pretty much a megachurch pastor, pretty much a celebrity pastor. Maybe not by looks a celebrity pastor, but by status, by books, by congregation size, by people who know him. Definitely a celebrity pastor.
Definitely.
More so on like the humble side, I guess you can say. So he's not bragging about his belongings. He's not like you won't see him on Snickers and Preachers or anything like that. So he really resonates well with a bunch of millennial Christians who like have seen so much hypocrisy. He seemed like kind of like a safe space for those people, I would say. And just really knowledgeable too, like a great teacher, a great leader, so on and so forth. And it's just like, the last person you would think would be like caught up in something like this. So basically what happened was he stepped on stage. He said that he was going to step aside for a little minute. He also emphasized that he plans on being the pastor there for the next 20 years because he's been a pastor for 20 years already. But he emphasized that before he started speaking. And then he kind of just talked about how he violated their social media policy by communicating with somebody who was not his wife. And they said it was the content and the frequency. But he also said it was not romantic in nature. He said there was nothing romantic about it, but like some coarse language. That's the words that they used, coarse language, and just the frequency of communicating with one another. So he said that he knew about it. His wife knew about the conversations. He said the woman who he was involved in conversations with, he said that her husband knew about the conversations, which kind of led to like people asking the question of like, well, why are you stepping down? And allegedly, or he said that the friend of a woman confronted him at the church one Sunday and said, this is not cool. And he kind of said that he took that immediately to the elders. The elders did an investigation. And the conclusion of their investigation, they included like phone messages. He had to surrender his phone, laptop, devices, so on and so forth to just make sure they had the full picture. The conclusion they came to was that he violated their social media policy. I don't know what their social media policy is. But it's pretty much everybody landed at the spot of this is an extension of the Billy Graham rule, and we're not even sure if this is even like applicable because it was nothing romantic in nature. But they did have a lot of conversations, so people kind of said that like either there's a scandal going on, or they just are overreacting to something that doesn't need overreaction. You know, he apologized to his family and stuff like that. And people said that maybe he should apologize to her family for them being embarrassed and so on and so forth. But like, it just kind of like was kind of surprising. And then Preston Sprinkle, who also is pretty well known, he talks about like a lot of gender issues and things like that. That's like his kind of calling card. But he has a conference every year. And people like Jackie Hill Perry, Street Hymns, Matt Chandler, people like that go to the conference. So he sent an email and kind of just said like, hey, I've looked extensively into this. Basically, he said, I've talked to Matt Chandler twice and talked to a woman who's been on staff at the church for over 18 years. He said he can't share the private details, but he will share that it's being portrayed pretty bad. And it's really like the church's messaging that kind of just made it seem so bad. Right. So like, and then he said the coarse joking was jokes about alcohol, not sexual innuendos or lewd jokes. And the big issue was his DM relationship seemed too familiar for someone that he didn't know terribly well in person. He basically violated the Billy Graham rule. So this is what somebody said who was kind of associated with it. So it does like all fall back to the Billy Graham rule. So when you hear that, like, what do you think?
Well, my first thought is, you know, we're talking about Matt Chandler, who's a pastor. So just from him being a pastor, I find it to be... My first thought is that it's weird that he's being punished for this. And part of the reason why is because, like, if you're a pastor, then your business is people's souls. You know, like, what you're called to do is minister to people. That's men and to women. And to do so, that requires a whole lot of contact and communication with people. I mean, that's your job. Like, it seems odd to me that if the woman that you're ministering to didn't complain of anything, and they did an investigation and they didn't find anything, you know, that was inappropriate, that you would have to then step down. It's almost like it just comes across a little bit weird to me.
And step aside. So he does plan on being back. He's not necessarily stepping down, because I think that communicates that, you know, that kind of communicates that like he's fired or he quit. He's just stepping aside to like basically go on a forced sabbatical, essentially.
So, but I think like also too, like the question is for me is like the Billy Graham rule, like now, I do think there may be a little bit of wisdom to it, and I'll get into that later. But like, my first thought is just like, does it really work to curb sexual immorality? like to like prevent sexual immorality, does not meeting with women, not talking to women alone work to prevent gossip that you may be cheating on your wife, you know, without stopping you from being a pastor to this woman? Because I feel like it's difficult to be a pastor to someone, get them to be fully, you know, transparent with you as their pastor, if someone's sitting over here listening to the whole conversation. Like, if you got a woman in your church who's struggling with something, she's coming to the pastor to talk to him about it, and his assistant's just sitting in the corner. Like, she might not be able to really tell what's going on. I don't know. It just seems like it would be a hindrance to your job. But I don't know. What do you think? What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, and just going into that conversation, because, like, I'm a school counselor, so, like, I frequently had, like, thoughts of, like, working in the church as a counselor if a position ever became available, because I think that it would, like, take some of the handcuffs off of me to some capacity that, like, exists, like, in a school setting. But, like, the conclusion I came to was that I will never take a counseling job at a church if they're not going to hire a woman counselor in addition to me. Yeah. And I say that just because, like, there are not many safe spaces for women at church. When you think about it, like, they're not going to share everything with a male that they may share with a female. So you, or a woman, I'm sorry. But, like, with that, that's like one of my first thoughts is like that. But I think that there is like a difference though, because I think that, like, they're saying, like, I think there's a difference between, like, communication with somebody and, like, DM communication with somebody and, like, the frequency of it and of you being, like, kind of concerned about that. Because, like, we still don't know the contents of, like, you know what I'm saying, the actual messages. Like, we can assume what they are, but we still don't know what they are. So, like, we don't know what was said, and we don't know, like, what their social media policy is even. So, like, what is their social media policy? You are a pastor and an elder at the church, so you already know what the policy is. So, you know what I'm saying? So, right or wrong, you violate the rules, so that's tough. When it comes to the Billy Graham rule, like, I think that there is wisdom in it. But I think that, like, this is just Darius Watkins speaking, not Ryan Thomas. So, like, take it up with me if you got an issue with it. But I think that it's presumptuous to start off with. I think that, like, I think, again, I think there is wisdom in it. I think that it works for some people. But at the same time, I think it's presumptuous that, like, if you are a male or a female and you are with somebody for a certain amount of time, then you're going to lust after them to some capacity, and then you're gonna eventually kind of, like, cheat or put yourself in a compromising situation.
Position.
Like, that's, yeah, position. And that's, like, assuming that the other person is also gonna have the exact same feelings. That's kind of odd to me, and I think it also, like, doesn't deal well with people who may be same sex attracted or anything like that, because, like, are they only supposed to meet with men, or are they supposed to meet with nobody, or women that they consider ugly? Like, what so I think that, like, in 2022, when we're actually considering things, I don't think that it necessarily does what it's supposed to do. And I don't think it's practical in a lot of ways, because I'm a school counselor, and 80% of the people in my building over the course of my career, maybe even 90%, have been women. And it's been situations where I've been alone in a room with women. But, like, I don't think that, like, I've ever, like, dishonored my wife in it. Like, I'm literally doing my job.
Yeah.
So,
right,
like,
right.
If you work as a manager at some business, you're probably going to have, if you're a manager, you're probably going to have people of opposite sex that work with you. And at some point you will have to have, like, you know, conversations alone. So what does that look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think some jobs, like, just require you to have that. And we could always look at Jesus. But I think that, like, it's kind of a cheat code to look at Jesus, because he was perfect. So, like, he was sinless. You know what I'm saying? So we could always look at, like, his relationship with women, so on and so forth. But, like, that's not necessarily fair. But at the same time, it still shows that, like, there is space for you to have relationships with some women. Especially, like, as long as we're in the model of, like, they're only male pastors and stuff like that, like, you're going to be directly responsible for somebody of the opposite sex's salvation. And, like, what do you, like, what happens next?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are just like legit questions that I have because I don't know what the answer is. But I'm not like the biggest fan of the Billy Graham rule. It's the first Sunday of football, y'all. Jimmy Graham used to play tight end, so it's one of these days. but I think that I just got so many questions, and I think that like we'll go ahead and I'll tell you one of my last thoughts.
Yeah, I think you bring up some really good questions. And to just continue to critique a little bit, you know, some women actually think that this rule can actually hinder their progression in their career or their opportunities because certain leaders don't want to sit with them alone to discuss business or like business ventures or business opportunities, which is a valid concern. And then you also have the, you know, the issue being that it seems to reduce a woman to nothing more than a walking, talking temptation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like she's a sin waiting to happen. You know what I mean? Like, and that can be kind of dehumanizing in a way to where it's like, you know, why can't I go into these rooms and meet with certain people? Because the rule just, because of who I am, basically, you know what I mean? And so those are legitimate concerns that I've seen brought up about this rule. And I think, you know, like I said, I do think there may be some wisdom in it at certain times, but it's the absolute aspect of things. Like, there's no situations. Are there ever any times where this is appropriate? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or is it just the absolute never don't do this or type situation? And I think that with Matt Chandler, you know, the Me Too movement, I feel like, was definitely something that opened up a lot of people's eyes in regards to how they move and the decisions they make with the opposite sex, especially, and especially when there's a power inequality in those, in that relationship. Power inequality relationships are super sensitive, you know, and some men may just think like, hey, I want someone to be there to make sure there's no false accusations brought against me or whatever for my own protection. And I can kind of understand that perspective, right? Because we've heard plenty of accusations in the Me Too movement that proved to be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think about Joseph in the Bible with Potiphar's wife.
Hey,
you know,
we're gonna do an episode on that. We're gonna do an episode on
yeah.
So let's save some of that fire
for that. Okay,
but
so you know, I think that is definitely something that causes people to like rethink, you know, these rules that really they're put there for the protection of both parties. So I understand the intention is good, you know, well-meaning rule, right? But it seems to have some major limitations, especially if you're a pastor. You know, I haven't even really thought about it outside of being a pastor.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I think that like one of my first real life interactions with seeing a problem with the Billy Graham rule and seeing it applied to like the workplace specifically. There was a politician from Mississippi, of course, but a politician from Mississippi, there was a journalist who wanted to kind of follow him around in his campaign and kind of just like write about it. And a journalist for a newspaper in Mississippi, which like automatically tell you she ain't making no money. But with that being said, he was like, I mean, let's just keep it a book. Let's keep it a book. So like, but his response was, okay, we can do this, but you're going to have to bring another journalist with you of the opposite sex. And you're going to have to pay for that. And I'm only paying you to do this. Like, just how problematic that is, bro. You're doing a whole campaign. You are a politician, fool. I didn't tell you to go into that career. That's kind of on you. Like, you should have enough money where you should have somebody around you. Like, you tell me what the deal is with you at this point. So, like, those were one of the first times I've seen it to where I was like, dang, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's kind of talk about, like, good reasons to have a Billy Graham rule. Because I got another thought that's kind of like, you know, kind of challenging it a little bit, but I don't want the whole episode to be like we going in on the Billy Graham rule. Good reasons to have the Billy Graham rule. I think that like if you have a partner who has a history of, man, just being out there for the streets, Give me a better word than for the streets. Give me a better word than for the streets.
That's the perfect word, but I would say that they have a history of infidelity.
History of infidelity. We'll stick with it. But let's say this partner has a history of infidelity or even temptation with infidelity. Like I almost cheated on my spouse because I was in this situation or because I was around this person and I just became attracted to this person. Then you probably, you know what I'm saying, should like have that in place. I think another example of having that in place is if you are in a time of discontentment or unhappiness in your marriage. Like, I think that it makes plenty of sense to have that rule in place. Because if you are not content, if you feel like somebody is not leading you or doing their job, so to speak, then you are probably on shaky grounds as to what you may do, honestly. That as well. And I think that, like, there can be other examples too. Do you got any other examples that may come into play, like where it may be a good idea to have like a Billy Graham rule to where it may actually be like beneficial?
Yeah, man, I think what you said was very good, man. I mean, any types of issues where you know yourself and you know how your struggles are, the way your struggles set up as a man, that, you know, it could possibly benefit you to apply that rule, you know, to where it's like, hey, we can meet, but let's go to Starbucks and meet somewhere public where other people are around us, you know, not necessarily listening to us, but they can see us, or like having someone, you know, either like in the room with us if we're in an office or something, or somebody right outside the office if you're a pastor or something along those lines. But I think, you know, yeah, I can definitely see trying to be above reproach. Yep, you know, facts. Like scripture says that we should try to be, our ministers especially should try to be above reproach, basically meaning that you're dotting your I's, crossing your T's to make sure that people don't think something that may not be true of you, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I do think it's some wisdom to it, you know, if applied correctly and in cases and situations that call for it, so.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll just say, like, if you know that your spouse has some insecurities in relation to like you or his or herself and like their appearance and comparisons and whatnot, like, you know that that's a thing, then like it may just be like the best thing for your marriage. You know what I'm saying? To like have that, have some of those Billy Graham-esque rules in place. So like,
if you know the person likes you already. Like the other person likes you.
Yeah, and let's keep it a book. Like, or if you're attracted to the other person.
Or if you're attracted to them. Yeah. that's definitely true.
Yeah, maybe you're not attracted to them physically. Maybe you're attracted to their work ethic or whatever it is. Like, I think that, like, let's say that, like, you are a go-getter. Like, you just out there getting it. And your spouse is not. Your spouse is just not that. Because that's just not who he or she is. But with that being said, this male or woman at your job, or this male or woman that you have got frequent, male or woman that you have frequent access to is like, it may end up being a little problematic for you to, you know what I'm saying, like, be around that person a good bit if that's like something that you know that you desire from somebody else, or you feel like this week your spouse's inability in this area is bothering you. It may just make sense like to not have that at that time. So,
because it might translate, that trait that you like might translate into a romantic attraction.
Yeah.
It definitely can. Yeah. It definitely can.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like say that and make sure we're not just like, you know, going in on a rule the whole time. Cause like at face value, like, it sounds wild. Right. One thing I did want to say is that some people will say the Billy Graham rule says, like, even if you go to Starbucks with this woman, like, you are still in violation of the Billy Graham rule because y'all are still alone. So like, that's, I did want to just say that because some people do view that rule as that. So, but with that being
that's
said,
kinda, like, that's kind of wild to me, but okay. Hey, I'm just what y'all think we going to do? We in Starbucks. What y'all think we going to do? Are we going to put two straws in the same drink and just be sitting there?
you never know.
The lady and the hound.
This man.
with the spaghetti.
Yeah, some people will say it's the pregame for the lady in the house. So I'm just saying, like, that's just how some people think. But with that being said, like, and kind of going back to like areas of wondering for the Billy Graham rule, I wonder, like, with that, sometimes, like, are you putting a Band-Aid on something that needs stitches? Because I would question that, like, if you are in the same vicinity as somebody of the opposite sex or somebody that you're just attracted to, whatever that may be, somebody that you're just attracted to the point where you may act upon that, like, that's probably a bigger issue. It's probably a bigger lust issue. It's probably a bigger issue in discontentment. It's probably a bigger issue in other areas. And just avoiding that issue or avoiding that struggle that you know is apparent is not necessarily dealing with the issue in itself. It's just kind of kicking the can down the road, or you kind of putting a band-aid on something, and eventually it could leak out. Or you could bleed out because you didn't give it the proper treatment that it needed. So like that's something that like always kind of like bothered me with that. And I think that like, and this is bad. I'm gonna say this right now. Like this sounds bad. But I spent a little bit of time at the University of Memphis in a PhD program for counseling. And one thing they said, and it sounded callous, but it was like, if somebody's going to commit suicide, they're going to commit suicide. Mm. It wasn't anything that you said that made them do it. It was just that they wanted to do it so badly. They felt like that this was freedom for them, that they chose to do it. Like, so as a counselor, like you didn't necessarily do anything to make that happen. And I think that a lot of times
unalive themselves.
Yeah. So like, and a lot of times, like if somebody wants to cheat, they're going to cheat. And this is where I think that like we get into performative Christianity. And I think that like, that's ultimately like what it leads to. I don't want to be with, not ultimately. I think a lot of times, like we can find ourselves in performative actions, being that like, I don't want it to look like I'm cheating on somebody, but I'm checking every girl out at the gym I see. I don't want it to look like I'm cheating on somebody, but I got access to this on my phone. I don't want it to look like I don't want it to look like I'm cheating on my spouse, but I'm watching porn. I don't want it to look like this, but I'm lusting in all these other ways, which Jesus clearly said that is the same thing as adultery.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, and I think that like, that's what bothers me the most with some stuff like this, is that like, I don't like performative Christianity. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like having these great looking Thanksgiving pictures where we all look happy, we all look smiling, but we know that we were arguing the whole time before that and the whole time after those pictures were taken. Yeah. So like everybody else who walks in can say phony. Like this. Yeah, everybody else can walk in and be like, man, that these people look so happy in this picture. But when you look at this picture, you probably say, man, that was the biggest fight we ever had.
I remember.
Yeah, this was the biggest fight we ever had, and this is what happened. And so it means something completely different to you than it does to everybody else. So like, just like sometimes I think some of this stuff can be more performative than like actually focusing on bettering ourselves as Christians, as people, as citizens. Where that's my biggest issue with the rule and what it can lead to. Because I'm all about stitches. If you got something that needs stitches, then bro, get some stitches. You gonna bleed out, or you gonna have some long term issues if you don't get stitches for this issue. And I think that like that is where I find like the biggest cause for pause with the rule, just some capacity.
Yeah, which is just basically, you know, behavior modification versus heart transformation, right? That's exactly what you're saying. Because it's like, we can continue to modify a person's outward appearance and their behavior, but in their heart, they're still full of lust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if your heart is full of lust, it's going to come out of you because that's what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So rather, the conversation or the main focus should be, hey, what does it look like for this person to get some deliverance from this deep-seated lust that he's dealing with, you know, rather than saying, hey, just don't be alone with any women anymore. There you go. Problem solved. You know what I mean? It's a tough one because I'm all about pragmatism. You know, what practically can we do to make things better? You know, and it seems like that's what the goal is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, social media and things of that nature, it kind of just like another conversation that we had on another episode, just talking about, you know, the rules of engagement. You know, Billy Graham was not around when social media took off. Well, he was, he was like 90 something and he passed away. But, you know, social media is here. People are sending messages to pastors now and their DMs like, hey, I need you to pray for my family. I need you to pray for me. You know, can you pray for me right now? Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, do you just ignore people's issues because they DM'd you? They don't know the rules of the, you know, the church. You know what I'm saying? And then
maybe you got a template where it's like, hey, thank you for this. This is my email address. This is the part. This is how you send me this message. This is who you need to forward in this message. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Would a person actually do all that? Because you're putting out.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Because that person's already. It was probably already hard for that person to be vulnerable in that capacity. And now you're like, you're making them add another person who they don't even know. So like, you know
that's
what I'm saying?
It.
So
like, go to my secretary. Like it can mm-hmm. seem weird. And I know that's tough because I'm not in that position, but I'm sure pastors already deal with that kind of stuff. Like mm-hmm. woman is desperately in need of like an answer or a prayer or something. And she gets an automated message back saying, hey, mm-hmm. our office hours are blah, blah, blah. Send us an email here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and then sometimes, you know, you're thinking as a pastor, like, okay, all of the women in the church are going to meet with the pastor's wife. All the men are going to meet with the pastor. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean your wife, if you're a pastor, it don't mean she has counseling gifts or mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that she's good at communication. And, you know, that could be putting an entire burden on her that she's just not even skilled for. And then I think I'm hearing some people say like, hey, well, maybe he just hires a female counselor. And, you know, all of those things, you know, we're trying to figure out practical steps. But at the end of the day, I just feel like pastors need to be able to do their job without mm-hmm. there being whispers. You know, if he's really just doing his job, he's not doing anything wrong. People shouldn't be gossiping about the fact that you're in the office alone with a woman. I mean, this is a tough one for me. that's a tough one for me to kind of get all the way on board with. You know,
yeah, and it's one of these things where like this is like where I land. Like at the end of the day, like if this is the best thing for your marriage, then do this. If this is the best thing for you, then do that. But just don't let it be a band-aid. That's all I ask. Just don't let it be a band-aid. I'm not telling nobody how to live their life. I'm not telling nobody what they should and shouldn't do. All I'm saying is like if you got areas in your life where you know you need to grow. Don't put a rule in place that just kicks the can down the road. Like, that's all I say. Put a rule in place that just kicks the can down the road. And if you want to do it, like, just for that, then do it. And lastly, and I meant to say this at the beginning of the episode, and I didn't. I know that lots of people's families have been, for lack of better words, destroyed, changed, become broken homes because somebody or both people decided to cheat on one another. And I know that like that's an area where trauma does exist. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying like I want to at least acknowledge you guys because I know that like there can be a reason why some of you guys may have these rules in place because of ways that you've seen it play out long term for your family. So
absolutely.
In that, like, I just want to say I hear you. I see you. I'm not mm-hmm. telling you what you should and shouldn't do for your family. If you made it this far, then we appreciate you listening because this probably was a triggering conversation for us to just bring this up, like bring up this case just now.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll also say prayers to Matt Chandler, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, honestly, man, prayers to every person that's in a leadership position mm-hmm. when they're trying to figure this out, you mm-hmm. know, because it is a tough situation where, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to. You know, how to engage with people. That's, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to do and be and do the right thing. And I think that's what Matt was trying to do. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Prayers to him, man.
Facts. And I think that, like, our podcast is a platform where we don't claim to know all the answers. We don't know all the answers. That's what we claim. No. But we do want to just have, like, legitimate conversations, like, with us, sometimes with guests, and just, like, talk through things and just talk about it in real time and just see, like, where we land at the end of the conversation. Like, that's what we want to do. So like this is like who we are and this is like what we do. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you got any questions or anything like that, just like hit us up. One or both of us. Let us know. But man, we appreciate y'all, man. We love y'all. If you could follow us on social media at Uncle Form Podcast. Also on Facebook at Uncle Form Podcast. Follow the podcast itself. Subscribe. We need that 5-star review on Apple. Podcast and Spotify Podcast. You can do it on both. And Ashley, write a review. That's super helpful. If y'all can do that for us, man, please do. If you think this episode would benefit somebody, please send it to them. And man, just help us continue to grow and help us continue to, you know, be obedient in the, having these conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it.
Yeah. For Unconformed Podcast, man, I'm Darius Watkins.
Yep. I'm Ryan Thomas.
Hey, and we out.